you've heard of the seven deadly sins, maybe the five stages of grief.
But 12 days of Christmas.
12 days of Christmas, you name it. But did you know the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency is going through four phases of geospatial information integration? Probably stumped you there.
I couldn't tell you what the first three are, but Jason Miller will.
Absolutely. Well, it's in phase three now, remember, of four. It's preparing to enter phase four, and Jason is joining us now with details. Hi, Jason.
Good morning, Tom and Emily.
So, Jason, what are these four phases?
Well, it has nothing to do with death, hopefully, and nothing to do with Christmas. So, but they do have to do with really a path that the intelligence community really is starting to follow, and really the government more broadly is really getting into. Now, this is the whole idea behind this, is how to better use, improve the use of geospatial data. And we're talking more than just maps here. We're really talking about anything that adds context to what you're seeing in the internet. So, for instance, if you're looking at a city, you're seeing fields and streams or mountain ranges and valleys or buildings and streets. Really, anything like Google Maps, anything that you use online like that, is really using multiple kinds of GIS data to really give you that fuller experience. Or, as NGA Director Tish Long says, they put the bricks and mortar in the bits and the bytes. Then let me go through each of the phases real quick. Phase one is what she called coordination. Now, this happened in the mid-90s. There was a lot of disconnected data and systems. They were being brought together only to solve a problem. But traditionally, they were siloed. The data was segmented, and there was not a lot of information sharing. Phase two, they moved into what she called connection. Now, she says the intelligence community moved past coordination. So the disciplines are being connected. There's fostering some mutual support. But they're not quite at integration, but they are at least at collaboration. Phase three, which Tish Long, the director of NGA, says the intelligence community and NGA really just entered in the last 3 or 4 or 5 years, is really going to be dependent on something called the EyeSight program. This is the big IT enterprise effort across the entire intelligence community. Tish Long, again, NGA director, describes how the intelligence community is moving along this wide scope of phase three.
EyeSight will enable our analysts from across the community to fuse their information, to be able to really create that common picture, thereby gaining deeper insights into our hard problems. And the Director of National Intelligence, or the DNI as we refer to him, has really championed the transition to integration as his highest priority. And I will tell you, we are making great progress across the IC, and WebGIS really enables this. And as we make progress, we are perceiving the world in new and different ways. The power of intelligence integration, I think, is leading us to the possibility of a fourth phase, and I call that immersion. In the not-too-distant future, I hope that analysts are able to live within the data. So really immersed into a multi-sensory, fully integrated environment. They may be equipped with advanced visual, auditory, and tactical tools and technologies. And I think the promise of immersion offers an exciting future for analysts.
Long spoke yesterday at the ESRI Federal GIS Conference in Washington. Now, she says all three of these phases are actually part of a historical shift that NGA and, again, the more broad intelligence community are going through. She says the intelligence community will move into this phase four, hopefully in the next 5 years.
So, Jason, how is NGA in phase three? What are they doing to make themselves phase four for this immersion that she describes?
Yeah, it's a fascinating use of immersion. You think of stuff like Google Glass and things of that are auditory and visual. But over the last 6 months around phase three, NGA itself has launched four different capabilities that are both dependent on each other and integrated using the EyeSight program. First one was called Open IT Standards. Now, this has been a focus area for several years, actually, for NGA. They moved there starting in 2011, and this includes things like cloud computing and focusing on customer services, satisfaction, and efficiencies. The second capability is what they're calling Map of the World. Long says this is actually the bedrock of intelligence integration.
In the past, you had to access multiple databases and search by hand for hours, sometimes even days, to find our information. You first had to know where to look. And I will tell you, that doesn't cut it today. In our rapidly changing world, customers need immediate access. They shouldn't have to know where to go to get the information. Just know that it is out there and access it quickly and easily. So we have created a map of the world to be the home for all GEOINT-related and multi-source content, data, knowledge, analysis, and reporting. And the map of the world provides a seamless, integrated environment so that analysts can live within that data. They record their observations, and they integrate all of their information about any object of interest.
Now, she says the NGA map of the world differs from other maps of the world because I think it's offered in the commercial sector as well, because it includes geospatial content that is from classified documents and classified information around maritime and air safety, imagery data, and then all this content is actually tailored for those DoD intelligence community senior decision makers. Now, intelligence analysts can access the map of the world through something called the Globe. Long says this is a single web portal that will ultimately be the entry point for all intelligence data.
Through the Globe, users will gain access to the map of the world and all of our GEOINT content. That content will be curated. That is, it's vetted for quality and usefulness. And so the business analytics will give us the feedback because it's all connected to the user experience and what our user needs. And so an example here, our collaboration with our partners during the response to Typhoon Haiyan really shows the progress that we are making in delivering that content. As the typhoon gathered strength, we created an event page on our unclassified website. The site enabled the international disaster response community to access all of our data, submit requests for that information, and also share their data. So it really was truly online and on demand.
Now, the fourth piece of this effort is all about data analytics, the use of big data, something we talk about all the time. Now, Long says the goal is to not only know the known threats, but also know the unknown ones, too.
One way of getting at these unknowns is through an advanced analytic tradecraft that we are pioneering called activity-based intelligence, or ABI. And using big data analytics, automated processing, our ABI tradecraft, we are discovering critical surprises hidden in the masses of data, as well as secrets that our adversaries are trying to hide. Automated processing frees the analysts to think more deeply, to answer intelligence questions more quickly, and generate new perspectives for their customers. The result? More decision space and deeper insight so our policymakers, our warfighters, can determine better courses of action.
Now, Long says each of these initiatives are so critical, NGA actually has realigned or actually canceled dozens of programs worth hundreds of millions of dollars and moved those resources to those programs. She says the goal is to have all these capabilities fully operational by 2018.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. So what challenges face the agency or the intelligence community more broadly? What did you talk about?
So I think any discussion around challenges, we're going to start with budget and resources. I mean, I think you cannot ignore that as part of any discussion across the government. But we're going to put that aside, actually, for a second, because since every program faces those similar challenges, from Long's perspective, industry has several different challenges. They need to help NGA develop and deliver critical capabilities that can be accessed in a low-bandwidth environment. Industry also needs to help with NGA collect video and do some fast editing, and that video has got to come from trusted users as well. So what are the capabilities that can help do that? And then, of course, identity management. There's a need for that all the time, and that cuts across all of these efforts so the right people have the right access to the right information, and we're going to call that the Snowden effect, kind of the how to protect against the insider threat. Now, for the government, there's some challenges there, too. Long says those challenges actually are different.
I urge you to adopt the Ocean Geospatial Consortium standards for your data. Meta-tag your data. Expose your data. Make it accessible. If it's not out there for others to use, you're not realizing the full potential and the full value of that data. Expose your apps and make that available also. Expose your analysis. Let us expand collaboration and integration beyond the intelligence community and the Department of Defense to other federal, state, and local governments, always as appropriate.
Now, internally, Long says there's other challenges, such as how to best provide those data analytics services across the intelligence and DoD communities. NGA wants commanders, whether it's a DoD or intelligence, to be able to go to the Globe, see all the information in the map of the world, and then use other services to better understand the location areas they're going to through the use of this geospatial data. Now, at the same time, Longa says NGA is trying to make it easier for the members of the intelligence and DoD communities to find this information and actually find the apps. So there's a GeoInt, a Geospatial Intelligence App Store, that's living right now on what they call the GovCloud App Store or App Mall. That includes a bunch of other intelligence agency apps. Finally, she says NGA also created a new customer service organization, and this is new to NGA. This is the first time that an organization is really focusing on the mission needs in terms of how to make the data more accurate, more up-to-date, and improve the user experience so that's as high quality as possible. Now, as we've talked about throughout this story here, NGA is well on its phase into the integration and moving closer to the immersion phase, but this is building on each other. So this is not something, we'll reach phase three, now we're into phase four. It's just, it's going to happen as part of the technology changes that we all see day in, day out, year after year.
Jason, a couple of stories. You mentioned the GovCloud App Mall with the NGA apps there. Those apps are not available to the public, though. That's only for the intelligence community?
Correct. All of this is actually behind on what they call the secret network, the CIPRNet. So that is true, that it's not available to the general public.
And my bigger question is, back in the 80s, I believe it was, during the Reagan administration, maybe, there was a policy to allow private interests to have the same degree of geospatial information from the satellite system, coordinates and so forth, to make it as accurate as the government had. There was a big controversy whether they should stop the detuning that was available to commercial users of GPS data, which is a big part of geospatial data. So my question is, today, does what the NGA have, is it different and higher quality and more fine grain than what people can get from Google and some of the other public sources?
I think because the way the intelligence community has changed over the last decade or more, you know, post 9/11, they've really focused on certain types of intelligence collection tools, and GeoInt, I think, has been one of those. You know, this was at the ESRI conference, and, you know, ESRI is a huge player,
yes, indeed,
in the geospatial world. So they were showing how mapping or the use of their technology, for instance, has changed over the last decade. And if you just look at that alone, it's an incredible, you know, they went through, you know, 2002, 2004, 2006. Every 2 years, you saw this incredible change. So without seeing or knowing really what's inside behind that big firewall that the intelligence community has, one can only guess that the quality of their data is quite good. One aside to that, though, I think that's very interesting. She talked about the typhoon in the Philippines and the disaster recovery effort that the intelligence community, that DoD, played a role in. She said that actually they put up a site, and they actually let the Red Cross, for the first time ever, access data that usually is behind a firewall. So they are trying to open up certain, if you will, gateways to the general public in crisis situations like this.
All right. A lot to follow here. Jason Miller is Federal News Radio's executive editor. As always, great report.
Thank you, sir.